Dan Hetherington, SEH. We're going to be getting a weekly Davis Refinery update from Mr. Hetherington here. So how about just kind of where are we at today here with the latest on the Davis Refinery?
Well, I appreciate the question. So things are actually going quite well. And as you're aware from the last interviews we've done and the last conversations we've had, the permitting on this project, it takes a little bit of time. It's a highly regulated project. There are, you know, over 30 permits that have to be secured for the development of something like this. Where the big item that we're going through right now is the air quality permit. That is facilitated by the Department of Health through the state of North Dakota. The permit itself was fully reviewed by the state, by the air quality folks, and a draft permit was issued. And then what that does is that triggers a public comment period so that people, you know, anybody can kind of, you know, comment on you know, the project itself and the emissions or the air impacts, you know, that the project may or may not have. So that is typically a 30-day process, a 30-day public comment period, but the state extended it to 45 days in this case because it happened over the holidays, over Christmas and New Year's. So they added some additional days on it, and then on January 17th, a public hearing was held in Dickinson, so anybody from the public could just come and, you know, speak or offer written testimony or verbal testimony in regards to the project. We were very pleased by the amount of people that showed up there, and I'd say that for the attendees, about 80% of the people that showed up were supportive, and about 20% that you know, had some concerns about the project. And the majority of the speakers were actually those that had concerns for the project. But either way, all of the testimony was taken by the state, and once they collect all of the written testimony, verbal testimony, all the comments that were submitted over a period of time, over that 45-day period, then the Meridian team has an opportunity to review them and then offer responses to those comments or those questions, and then we provide that back to the state. The state then goes through and, you know, kind of reviews those comments, our responses, and then they add, you know, additional things that they might think is important to those comments. And then at that point, the state makes final decisions as to when the permit will be issued or how that takes place. So right now, like I said, the comment period is over. That ended, I believe, on January 26th. The public hearing was held on January 17th. And now we're going through the response portion of the timeline. It's going very well. A lot of comments were received, you know, in general in comparison to what, you know, the state of North Dakota typically gets for projects. But I think it's a unique project, and there were a tremendous amount of form letters that were actually sent in. So different groups were asking members of their groups to submit these form letters where, you know, that are you know, where they can click on it and then they submit it and it gets submitted on their behalf. So a tremendous amount of the comments were form letters, and I can elaborate on that if you'd like me to and what kind of numbers those were. But we're in the process of responding to each of those comments and questions, and both the form letter ones and the let's call them unique ones, or uniquely developed comments. So it's going well.
Well, I was going to ask you about if you knew the breakdown of that by now. When I talked to Terry O'Claire a few weeks ago, shortly after the public comment period concluded, he mentioned emails, this and that, and then all of a sudden in the news, there's 11,000 emails. And so I called him back and I was like, you know, we didn't really get into this. And he kind of made it seem like the majority of them were identical, and so they came from the same place. And kind of what I'm hearing from you is that's what you guys are seeing too. Do you know the breakdown? Because from my understanding, like 99% of them were a form letter.
Yeah, actually, you're actually right. 97.7% of them were actually form letters. So I can tell you specifically. We know exactly what they are. And we've been able to, you know, some of the original numbers that we were developing were after the initial run-through of the responses or of the comments. And now we've had an opportunity to go through them and And some had multiple pages that came in as separate emails, but they were actually part of the same email, or some of them were, you know, where they were hit multiple times where they hit enter, enter, enter to submit them online. And so what we received was a total of 10,751 comments, so about 10,750. Out of that, 250 of them were unique. So 10,500 of them were form letters. They were exactly the same from one form or another, from different groups that were just submitting these form letters. And so 250 of them were unique. And, you know, and going through this process, it is interesting to see how this happens. So, you know, as an example, one of the groups that we received the majority of the form letters for, it was something like less than 1% of their members actually submitted the form letter, but still it was a lot of form letters that came in regards to this project. So even though that group didn't respond, you know, really well, the overall number, because they're so big, looks really big on our part, where we see these form letters. So yeah, we saw 10,500 of them were form letters, 250 of them were unique, and so we go through the form letters, we respond to those, and we're going through the unique ones and responding to them. Some of them are simple one-page sheets that say, well, some are very, very supportive. Some are just, you know, statements where we think that, you know, this is a good location, or we think that isn't a good location. Some are really elaborate, where they've actually, they brought in a tremendous amount of exhibits and attachments and justification for their permission or their position. And those were from both sides. I mean, they were from people supportive and not supportive. So it is really nice to see that some people really took the time to review what we were submitting and review what those impacts are going to be and make comments in regards to those. Now, something you might find interesting is out of all of those 10,751 or whatever, the comments that we got, 208 were from North Dakota. And out of that 208, 106 of those were form letters. So we grabbed, by the way, the state of North Dakota ones are really, even though all of them we're paying attention to, the state of North Dakota ones are obviously of special importance to us. So, out of those 102 unique letters that we received from, North Dakota residents, what's really nice about that is 48 of the 102 were for the project, and 50 of them were kind of, had some concerns about the project, and then 4 of them were just making general comments. So it was almost a dead split in unique letters from North Dakota about some people that had concerns versus people that were very supportive of the project. Now, I'm not trying to disregard the form letters, but those form letters that we received were from North Dakota were all answered, as the form letters were answered. They're all exactly the same. So we go through and answer those exactly the same. So, I don't know, some additional stuff, Jason, that might be interesting to you, just because I do know this because we've been in-depth, digging in this thing up to our elbows. 1,500 of them were from California. 730 or something like that were from New York. It's interesting. There were a bunch of them were from outside of the United States as well. I mean, we think we had responses from, and these were generally form letters from, I think, 25 different countries. So it was an interesting kind of a mix of what we got comments from.
What's next for Meridian and the Department of Health, that sort of thing? I mean, because if I'm looking at the bigger picture here, trying to be sterile, I guess, from talking with the health department, there wasn't really a lot of comments on the air quality. And so that would tell me that I would assume most of these state comments are going to be satisfied and that sort of thing. I guess maybe not. I don't know. What's next? Because like I said, I think the majority of them actually didn't really have anything to do with air quality. It had to do with location.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Now, some of them did. I mean, some of them were really asking some in-depth questions. And you're right. The majority weren't, at asking in-depth questions. But we're responding to them all with the exact same level of priority. All of these are going to be responded to the best of our ability. the state, so what happens, you said kind of what's next. So we're going through our responses, and the state is kind of looking at their responses at the exact same time. And we will be submitting ours. And when we submit our final, you know, set of responses to them, they'll have to take a look at ours as well. And they're looking for, you know, just, you know, consistency and looking for, you know, to make sure that nothing was missed, or, you know, just kind of to go through over things in general. And then ultimately, once they kind of reconcile that whole situation where they have their comments and our comments, and, you know, is everything kind of matching, and are all of them answered appropriately. Now, remember, some of these, I am saying answered appropriately specifically because some of these are, you know, were very rude comments that were just name-calling opportunities and things like that. So, you know, they will be responded to appropriately, and then the state will make a decision as to, you know, when and how and, you know, what conditions or if any or whatever they put on the actual permit itself. So it's ultimately the state, a state decision, a state timeline. I can't tell you exactly when that is, but what I am 100% comfortable in is that they are going through these thoroughly. We are as well, and we're going to be providing them with our responses soon. I'd say within the next, you know, couple of weeks, we'll have them wrapped up, and we'll have them in their hands. And like I said, they're working at the same time, so I would expect that it won't be that long afterwards that, you know, everything's kind of brought together and it'll be resolved.
Have they given you any loose timelines on things? I know that they can't give you specific dates and everything, but there's got to be some sort of, I would imagine there's got to be some loose timelines on this because, you know, you guys have investors and people working around the clock on this types of thing. I mean, this is, you know, every day that goes by, it costs people money. And I get that the health department and the state wants to be as thorough as they can, but at the same time, there's got to be some timelines in here. Have we gotten to that point yet, or are we still kind of in limbo?
So, you know, in limbo is not really what I would say. So let me give you the general perspective. The state understands that we that are involved in the project have, I apologize for that, that are involved in the project have a desire to secure the permit as soon as possible so that we can avoid potential weather delays that are typical in North Dakota. So a quick version is, and you're well aware of this, is that winter can come on hard and fast. And so next fall, things can get really cold and really snowy very quickly. So the intent of the project, or the hope of the project, is to try to get in the ground as soon as possible, get all of our erosion control in place and our stormwater and everything like that in place, and to, you know, then at that point get footings and foundations and structures up so that the different team members that are building the project can work indoors during the winter, and that all of that, you know, that work that needs to be done outside can be done as much as possible prior to the onset of winter. Now, with that in mind, the state understands that as well. They have prioritized this project, but in reality, we understand that it's a big issue. It's a lot of information that needs to be reviewed, and they want to review it thoroughly and make sure they're paying attention to all the details that they possibly can. So it's really not in limbo, but it's more of a, you know, I think it's a commitment that everybody's made to, or everybody's in, you know, agreed to, that, you know, we're all doing the best that we can to get the information to the state, and they're doing the best they can to review things, and really, you know, just trying to get it done as soon as possible. So it's not like, oh, you know, I think that this could take, you know, 6 months or 10 months or anything like that. But I can't tell you that, you know, we think that, you know, we would like to see issuance by a given date. But I will say that all the parties that are involved are, you know, this is not something you desire to drag on and let last for a long period of time. So everybody's doing the best they can to do their portion of the work as quickly as can be done. So, you know, we understand that, and they're doing the best they can, and we're doing the best we can.
Dan Hetherington, SEH, Davis Refinery. Any final thoughts you might have here?
No, I guess really what it boils down to is that this is an exciting time for us. We're we're, you know, securing the permits that are necessary for the project, and everyone who was, you know, in the initial development of the project understood that it was going to take some time, and but it's all coming together. Initially, people were saying things like, you know, they'll never meet the emissions threshold. Well, that's not true. They'll never, you know, secure this permit. Well, that's not true. I mean, these projects, even though they're complicated and they get scrutinized pretty heavily, once people understand that the amount of effort and the amount of advanced technology that's being applied to this project, this is going to be a big thing for the country as a whole to see, you know, how clean refineries actually can be once they're allowed to be constructed and once people take the initiative to use that advanced technology and actually put these things in place. So we're excited.